Are you ready to elevate your career to new heights and enjoy the ranks of the world's top project managers? Listen, family, I get it. Navigating the journey to become PMP certified can seem daunting. But what if I could provide you with an identity, watch this, shift to help you guide you, or I should say help guide you through the mindset of actually taking and passing the PMP exam. Now, pay attention here. I want you to buckle up as we embark on this transformational journey together, turning your PMP aspirations into actual reality. Are you in? No, really. Are you in? Let me explain something to you, family. We have to understand one thing here. Do you mind if I share a short story with you? You see, these tips that I'm gonna break down today, they're a little bit different. I could have went the way of talking about the ITTOs or the project management terminology, or talking about, hey, you should, vocabulary, ITTOs, earned value management, understanding risk. I didn't do any of that. This is part one in today's episode. By the way, if you're new to the channel, I go by the name Ed. For all you smart, intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my mission, my job today, here on this episode, is to unpack today's title, which is entitled Project Management Tips for Aspiring PMP Professional, Part 1. See, the reason why I made a part one of this, family, is because there's, of course, a part two. But the importance of this is, family, we want to talk about it. We want to attack it from a different angle. Today's episode is really around the mindset, meaning the mindset of things that I wish I would have had when I took my first PMP exam, even though I didn't pass that one. And I'm going to put that story out as well. But the things that I took away from each time that I went through the progression of actually taking the PMP exam, I was learning something that I was like, man, I wish I would have known that before I sat down and take the test. So again, family, these are going to be different than what you expect. You know, I like to disrupt. And if you don't, because you're new here, well, I like to disrupt. So no more talk. Let's get into these actual 8 points. All right, point number one. Listen, fam, you need to understand the exam structure, basically the PMP content outline. And by the way, for all my newbies that are new to project management, or maybe just have their CAPM or don't have their CAPM, this, you want to listen to this, because now you'll have a chance to watch this, family. You'll have a chance to forward project, meaning, okay, how can I go back and reference these tips? So save this video. I'm telling you, this is going to be priceless. I promise you, you're going to thank me for this later. I'll send you my invoice. But anyway, you want to understand the PMP content outline. What I'm going to do, family, because you know I love to over deliver, but under promise, is I will put the actual link of the PMP content outline in the chat. So if you go and look in the comments, it should be there for you. But again, you want to understand the PMP examination content outline, and take the time to break that outline out into by domain and task to allocate your study time according to the weight of each section. As you know, this is a 180 questions. 175 of those 180 are actually scored. You have, I think it's about 230 minutes last time I checked, with after the 60th question, you automatically have the option to go into a break. All right, let me pause here. When I took my PMP exam, and they incorporated this piece, because they didn't have this before. Well, let me just be more upfront with you, because I like to keep it all the way truthful. When I didn't pass the PMP exam those other three times, what I learned from that, family, was the fact they didn't have these breaks in here. So if you got up from the exam because you wanted to take a break, that clock was still it was still going. So I love what they love what PMI had done here is basically after the 60th question, you do have 10 minutes, which is better than, and it's not accounted against the, I think it's accounted against the 230 minutes or whatnot. So again, those 10 minutes really, you know, gives you the opportunity if you want to take a break. For me, I didn't take any break. Not saying I would advise you to do that, but the reason why I didn't do that because I actually took my exam from home and I said, hey, what's the point? I'm gonna keep it all the way 100. I had too much anxiety at that point because I was super excited because I was like, the way these test questions was coming to me, I was like, this can't be, I mean, like, so I was finally getting the material because I put in so much work and it carried over. But anyway, I'm sorry to drain this first point, but it's important though. And then your second, your actual second break comes after the 120 questions. So after 120 questions, then you get your second break. By the way, family, as you know, check in the community post because we are having my mentor, my best friend, my guy, Phil is having an actual newbie, a half a day seminar for the cheapest I've ever seen it. I always have to get after Phil about this. I mean, because he has such a big heart and he's giving away a lot here. You need to jump on it, family. It's in the community post. I'll also put another link for that in in the comments. All right, let's move on to point number two. Speaking of professional trainers, my guy Phil, as well as myself, I am a professional trainer as well. Seek professional training. Listen, family, don't do what I did. I'm telling you, I'm telling on myself. Yes, I'm telling on myself. The first time I took it, I tried to do it on my own. And because I said, oh, I could just pick up the book. I've been in project management for, you know, X amount of years. So I should be able to pick this up. No. Don't go that route. Please don't go that route. You may be the smartest person in the room. Yep, I know there's exceptions. I know some people can pick up a book, study the book, and boom, go take the exam. I know some people can study 2 weeks and boom, go and pass the exam. I know you could take a boot camp over the weekend and then have the exam scheduled for the next following week and you could pass. I know that's everyone out there, but that was not me. I needed more attention. So find a reputable course that you feel comfortable with. If you have questions about that, you know how to find me. Just reach out to me. Point number three, this is huge. This was very challenging for me, family. Focus on understanding and not memorization. I thought, oh, if I memorize all the ITTOs and if I memorize all of this, but in every time I took the exam up until a point when I stopped falling into that memorization and I started taking time to learn the content. Because see, what happens is that there's a difference from what you may do day to day of how you lead a project versus what PMI, how PMI structures the POP exam. And I kept confusing those things. And because I'm an analytical thinker, I go deeper than what the question is asking. And the tricky part is, which they want the best answer. So there may be two good answers on there, but you have to choose the best one. So focus on understanding the information. That's why it's important to get a real good professional trainer, because you want to ensure that they can help you navigate those blind spots. That's what a trainer does. They're just going to help you navigate those blind spots. Okay. Point number four, invest in quality study materials. Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm just having flashbacks, family, but I'm having a good time. Don't mistake my laughter for anything else but having a good time. Reason why I say, you know, invest in quality study materials, because I did get one of those books from one of the boot camp, because somebody went through the boot camp and I won't tell you their story. Maybe I'll bring them on one day and let them tell you, but they end up going to alternative route. Not saying all boot camps are bad, before the boot camps come in and hunt me down. But what I'm saying though is that I was using their study material and it just wasn't working for me. So, you know, beyond just the PMBOK, you want to find additional study materials. Normally, if you get a professional trainer, they may have their own book of how they looked at the exam and unpacked it. And the biggest thing, family, here is You want to, number one, research, and number two, invest. Now, I know one of the biggest things out there when people start investing in courses, they're looking at a price point and they're saying, hey, how, I mean, you know, wow, this, for this particular course, why would I want to pay $200 or $5,000 for a PMP course? Because I think I've seen PMP courses anywhere from, and it's a huge spectrum, especially now with Udemy. They offer them at anywhere when they, you could catch them on sale from 10 to maybe $100. I've seen it from when there's a authorized training partner. I've seen it where they started at no less than like 2,000, and it can go up to 5 to 10,000 depending on what, how they built it out. So family, don't be afraid to invest in yourself, because look at it from a long-term approach. Let's say a course, and let's make the math easy. Let's say a course was PMP course, $500, right? Do you think that if you decided, I don't know, let's, and here's another piece of, to add to that example. Do you think if you were working, if you were applying for another job opportunity and you had the PMP, do you think that you would be able to make that $500 back? I'll let you think about that, family, because I know sometimes we can get caught up in the cost, but we need to get caught up in the value. What value will this provide me? What value, if I make this investment, will I get a return on my investment? So you always want to look at that. All right, point number five. I'm sorry, family, I get really passionate about, this is why I don't do a lot of these PMP or CAPM videos, because I know that I get super passionate about it, because I really truly want to see you win. I truly want to see you be successful. But the thing about it is, you have to make the commitment. All right, point number five, review lessons learned from other test takers. That is a game changer. Let me tell you why that's a game changer. Because how I found out about the actual breaks in the exam was because someone had went and took the exam before me. They were like, hey, did you know about these 10-minute breaks that they're offering after the 60th and 120th question? I was like, no, I didn't even know anything about that. And they were like, did you know when you went to the testing center, now they've changed this? See, learning from other people who've taken an exam is priceless, because they'll even tell you, excuse me, they'll even explain to you like, hey, you know, I was getting questions that I was like, I never seen before. Because again, remember, family, the exam is 180 question, and only 175 of those are scored. So that means five of those questions, you don't know when they're coming. So if you see a question you never recognized before, you're like, what is this? And it may throw off all your hard work and dedication to sit and pass the exam. So you want to make sure that you keep that self-confidence. And that's what someone shared. It was like, I seen a question come up that I didn't have no doubt. I didn't even know what it was about, but I still kept my confidence. I still kept believing I can sit and pass this thing. I sat there and I believe that anything is possible. So again, reviewing lessons learned from other test takers, as we build this out, family, and people come through the course and come and take my course and sit and pass the PMP or the CAPM exam, I am going to record them and get feedback of, hey, what did you learn? What went well? What didn't go well? Just like what a project manager would do, collect the lessons learned register. All right, point number six, message this point right here, and I saved it to the end. I didn't even set you up and say, hey, if you stay to the end, no. This is for my real listeners. If you are a real listener, put real listener in the comments, because of the fact of this point right here, boy, it's gonna, when I did this, it was a game changer for me. I know you're like, hurry up, ED, get it out. Simulate the exam conditions. Yep. When I simulated the exam conditions, it allowed me to prepare myself better for the actual thing. Okay, I know what you're thinking. You need to expand on that, ED. I got you. What I actually did is I would literally sit down and take the exam as if I was going, if I was at the testing center. So what do you mean by that? So when you walk into the testing center, I don't know if they've changed the procedures, but when I was there, they would have you basic. No, I'm going to give you the virtual first, because that's I've done that about 3 years ago. And I know that's a lot of people are nervous to take it from the home, from their house, because of the fact of that, you know, what if your internet goes down? What if this happens? And yeah, I understand all of that, but I'm going to give you my experience. So first of all, you have to have a clean room. So I couldn't have any of these stuff. Everything off the walls had to go. So I had to I had to make sure the room was clean. So I cleaned out my whole room, took pictures, took everything off the walls, anything in sight. Only thing that was in there was a desk and a chair. Boom. So then after that, I made sure that all of my belongings, phone, keys, anything, there was nothing in my pocket. I put that in another room. I came down, and when I came into the room, I sat down and I took the test just like in real time. 230 minutes or something like that. I spent. Why do you want to do that? Because you want to get comfortable, family, of taking this exam and feeling comfortable, even though you're uncomfortable. I've taken it at the approved testing sites, and it's really reason why I like taking it at home, because I felt more comfortable at home versus a testing center, because it was like all these different people in there, and it just hit different for me. Now, again, not saying I wouldn't go to the testing center, but if you were to go to a testing center, I would even probably create that drama out. You know, I would get dressed, drive around the block, pull up to my location where I lived at, walk in and act like I'm actually going to take the test and everything. Why? Because you want to simulate this over and over, because now where everybody else is uncomfortable, you comfortable, even though it's very uncomfortable. I trust, family, this point here of simulating the exam condition, I have not heard one person address this. That's why I thought it made sense to talk about it. I've heard people say, hey, know where the testing center is. I've heard them say, hey, you know, sit and take, you know, a full exam. I'm saying do everything as just if it was game day. Oh, I'm sorry. Exam day, because it is game day. All right, let's move on to point number 7. Leverage PMP exam prep apps. That was another thing that I did, family. We have sometimes we will have dead time. What is dead time? Let's say that you are waiting at a restaurant or you're waiting on your food somewhere. Instead of scrolling through Facebook or scrolling through Instagram, you can make sure you can watch these videos though. But instead of doing all of these things that are distractors, pulling up a PMP app. Now there's a lot of them out there. If you come to me, I'll tell you if you ask me, I'll tell you my favorites. I'm not going to tell you now because I'm probably going to do a whole detail on that. But again, get in the app, because what you want to be able to do is being able to take advantage of the time that I consider it dead time. Like I mentioned, waiting on your food, or you're waiting in line for something. Pull out your phone, boom, boom, and start taking questions right there. Because it's definitely going to be helpful. And make sure it's a reputable app too, family. Look at the reviews and everything. Point number 8, address gaps in your knowledge area, or I should say address gaps in your knowledge proactively. That's one of the things that I didn't do. And so I'm sharing it with you. I thought I was doing it, but I really wasn't. What do you mean? So where I was doing well at, that's where I was staying at, because I was like, yeah, I'm going to get all this confidence and everything. But I should have. But after I finally learned, I started really, truly focusing on areas that I was, you know, having some challenges at, but at the same time, still maintaining those strong areas as well. So what you want to do is identify and focus on your weak areas, and this can really significantly improve your exam readiness. Here's my bonus, family. Please prioritize your well-being. Listen, maintaining your physical and mental health is key, especially when you're doing intensive study. Family, I was so obsessed with this PMP exam that I was studying so much. I didn't care if it was a lunch break, I was studying. If before work, I was studying. After work, I was studying. On the weekends, I was obsessed. And what I learned is I needed to have some type of leisure or physical activity or even mental activity. I'm still trying to do my best of getting into meditation and things of that nature. But that is going to be key of prioritizing your well-being and things of that nature. All right, here are my three closing remarks. First one, seek professional training. As we know, you want to work with someone, first of all, that is PMP certified and actually is a professional trainer. As I stated to you before, I am currently working on building out. My first course is going to be around the CAPM, and then we're going to transition into the PMP. I'm hoping my graduates from the CAPM will be able to get ready and prepare for the PMP. Point number two, understand the exam structure. As I stated before, I'm going to drop the link to the PMI's content outline. If you are considering, if you're thinking about it, even if you're thinking about it in the future, you want to take that link and bookmark it so you can go there and pull the exam content outline. That content outline is going to be the one that's really going to help you have success along with the study materials. And the last and final point, I'll end with this. Simulate exam conditions. As I stated before, you want to create real world experience when it comes to taking the exam. So don't simulate it in a way where you say, oh, well, I'm gonna sit down and take 180 questions. No, no, no. I mean, put yourself through the whole experience by if you decide that you're gonna take the break, take the break, at the 60th question, and then at the 120th question, make sure that all distractions are out the way, meaning your phone is in another room and turned off, making sure there are no drinks, no. If you're going to take it remotely, like I did, again, nothing in the room except just you and a desk. But if you're going to go on site, then you don't have to worry about that. My recommendation again would be to drive around your block and then come into your place of residency and act like you're getting ready to take the exam, just like if you arrived at the test center. Why do you want to do that again? Because it is going to create an environment where everyone else is going to feel uncomfortable while it's still an uncomfortable situation, but watch this, family, you're just comfortable in there. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, family. It was a little long-winded. I would apologize, but there is some great information in here that you could really use. Reason why I do this, not only besides I want to disrupt the project management field, but I do it because I'm obsessed and I'm passionate about this thing called project management. And the things that I've done wrong in this thing called project management, I want to give my family, the people that really leave comments, the people that are really engaging with me, an opportunity to not make those same mistakes. So when I come to you with pragmatic, and I don't do a lot of deep dives and the artifacts and things of that nature, which I'm still working towards, but I think this is more important. When you have a mindset of knowing that it's possible, when you have a mindset that you're gonna break limited beliefs, when you have a mindset knowing that you can sit down and you don't have to do the thing that I did where it took me four tries to get to this position and you did it in one because you had the information and you had a mentor or a trainer to assist you along the journey. Until next time, you know my slogan, you know my motto. I'm out.